Earl Shope and the Snake. Earl Shope was at home. He did not live in a big house, and ever since his dad had died at the cave where the dragon was, he had lived alone with his mother and tried to do the best they could now that their dad was gone. Earl was a local hero because he had killed the dragon, and the clever use of his cape he had used to disguise himself was the talk of the town. But being famous was good, but it was not enough. So every day, Earl would go to school and learn new things so that he could help his mother and make his house a happy home. One day, after school, when he came home, his mother was crying. "What's wrong, Mother?" Earl said. And she said, "I'm afraid to go into the basement, Earl. I think there's something down there." "What could it be?" said Earl. She says, "All I know is when I open the door and head downstairs, I hear a strange slithering sound, like there's some kind of snake down there. And of course, I don't like snakes." Earl thought he should go down there and check. He opened the door and he walks down a couple steps, and sure enough, as soon as the light comes on and his foot hits the tread of the steps, he does hear the sound of a slithering, like something was moving in the basement. He decided not to go all the way down the stairs, but he kept listening, and he realized it was moving over towards the basement door. Now, his father had talked about fixing that basement door, which went outside, because it had never shut very well, and so there was a gap. And he had said that if they weren't careful, something might get into the basement. Of course, it wasn't that long ago when his mother had asked him to get something out of the basement, and he had gone through the outside door and had left it open, and had forgotten it, and had closed it the next day, and his mother had told him, "I hope nothing got in there." And Earl said, "I hope not." But now, thought Earl, sure enough, maybe that open door had let in an outside creature that was living in the basement. Earl tried to come up with a plan of how to deal with that. But of course, the darkness was the snake's best friend. And not only that, Earl knew just from the sound of it, this was not a small snake. This must be a big one. And Earl decided what he would need to do is first try the simple things. So on one warm day, he went down and he carefully opened the door from the outside. The sun was bright, but it was dark in the basement. He waited a respectable distance away. He watched for the large snake to come out, and after a few minutes, when he was very still, sure enough, he saw the head of a very large snake, its tongue slipping in and out, tasting the air, and it poked its head out, looked around, and Earl thought the snake looked directly at him. It raised its head a little bit, opened its mouth, and in it Earl could see long, sharp fangs. And there was what Earl thought maybe a smile on the snake, but maybe not. It closed its mouth, and the head disappeared back into the basement, back into the darkness. Apparently, the snake was not coming out. So the next day, Earl tried, and he figured out, what do snakes like to eat? He put a little food outside and waited again. And sure enough, after a few minutes, out came the large head of the snake, its tongue slipping in and out of its mouth, slithering, and it tasted the air. It looked around, and again, even though Earl was hiding and only his head and eyes could be seen, Earl thought the snake looked directly at him, its venomous eyes staring at him. And as quick as it could, the snake darted out, grabbed the food, and slithered back in. "Huh," said Earl to himself, "that snake is being very careful." On the next day, he tried putting two pieces of food out, one closer to the door, one further away. Maybe with his sharp sword, when the snake came out, he would surprise it as it went for the second piece of food. But the snake was too clever, and it came out, and it grabbed the first piece of food, and it waited, and as it moved a little bit and Earl stood up, the snake stopped, turned its head to look directly at him, and went back into the basement. By this time, Earl had the sense that the snake was very large and pretty smart. This was not a snake that was just 1 foot long. It was not a snake that was 3 feet long. It was a snake that was 10 feet long, and its body was as big around as a tire. And it moved very quickly, muscles rippling along its long, striped back. It moved back and forth, and there was a strange repeating marker, diamonds, all along the back with different colors, yellow and red. It was a serious snake. So Earl decided he had to try different things. One day, for example, he decided maybe the snake did not like the light, so he arranged to leave the door open one night, and he stayed up as late as he could, watching as carefully as he could for any movement. But it was very dark. He thought he heard a sound, but when he looked, he could not see the snake. Maybe the snake came out, but Earl could not see it. Maybe it went back in, but he didn't know that either. But he did know there was something moving out there. And he hoped when he woke up the next day, for he had fallen asleep, that the snake would be gone. He closed the door, went down around, opened up the steps, stepped down a couple treads, turned the light on, and to his disappointment, he heard the slithering sound still. The snake was still there, and it was getting used to being there. The snake had decided that Earl's home was its home, and it was going to stay. End of part one. Earl was standing on the step, the top of the basement, and he could hear the snake slithering down. He realized the snake wasn't going anywhere. And what were they going to do? He turned to go back up, and then he heard another sound. But this was from a different place in the basement, and it wasn't a slithering sound. It was a rustle. It was the sound of an animal that walked, and it was in a different place. And he thought, oh no, not only do I have a snake in the basement, I've got something else there too. Maybe a mouse. But it sounds bigger than a mouse. Maybe a rabbit. Well, in that case, the snake will eat the rabbit. Maybe it's something else. I don't know, but whatever that is, it'll probably leave, or it'll get in a fight with a snake. Earl was at a loss at what to do with the snake. He had tried everything he could think of. He went to see a wise man in the village, and he told him about their little house and the problem with the snake, and that he had seen the snake, and the wise man said, well, what does the snake look like? So Earl described him. He was long, with the big around his attire. He had these strange markings of yellow and black and diamonds, and it had long fangs and a big head, and it always seemed to be watching Earl. Ah, said the wise man, we know the snake. The snake is a very old snake, and has gone from house to house, and it usually doesn't end well. The snake gets bigger and bigger, and at some point, the snake decides to come up from the basement and live in the kitchen. No, said Earl. Well, what happens to the people who are living in the kitchen? Well, said the wise man, that's the problem. Because you can't have a snake living in your kitchen when you're there. So the people either decide to leave, which is the smart thing, or they stay. And the snake eats them. No, said Earl. The snake eats the people. Well, you saw the snake, said the wise man. It's very big, and it's very smart, and it has eaten lots of people. Well, what should I do? Oh, said the wise man, I would take your mother and find another house. But we can't, said Earl. We have no money. Ah, said the wise man, then I have no answers for you. So Earl walked home thinking of what he could possibly do. He didn't want to tell his mother that they had to leave their house. They had no place to go. But he also didn't want to have the snake start up the stairs and live in the kitchen, because that would be bad for him and for his mother. Then he decided he needed to think a little bit, and he realized what he would have to do is fight the snake like a mongoose. A mongoose, he had read, was an animal in a foreign country that was quicker than the cobra snake, the snake of India. And when that snake began to strike, the mongoose was quicker, moved out of the way, and as the snake went by to strike at it, it would grab the snake with its teeth, and the mongoose would always win. So what Earl decided to do was practice being like a mongoose. He got his short sword, and he began to practice his quick strikes, and he learned how to move as quick as a mongoose, to the left and to the right, quickly to the left again and to the right. And he would practice his sword, the short sword, and soon he was able to bat the flies out of the air with his blade. He became so quick that the flies preferred to walk around on the kitchen floor than fly in the air, because Earl, with his short sword, became blazingly fast with it. And at some point, Earl decided he was ready. The day had come. He opened the door. He stepped down the first two steps. Once again, he heard the slithering sound, and this time, he also heard the rustling sound in a different part of the basement. He didn't know what that was, and he'd have to deal with that later, because today was the fight between him and the snake. Down two more steps he went. Again the slithering sound, and again the rustling sound. He had the sense the snake was on the far side of the steps. He decided that the snake liked the dark, but he liked the light. So when he got close to the basement floor, he turned on the light, and he saw the snake across the floor, and it was coiled, looped around itself, one loop over another, and in the middle of those loops, coming out of those loops, rose the head of the large snake. Its eyes looked directly at Earl, its tongue slipping in and out, tasting the air. The fangs, he could see at the edges, and he was sure it was smiling. Earl didn't take his eyes off of it. He took a step forward. The snake stared at him. Now, Earl was very prepared, but he realized that the basement was not like the yard where he could move any distance, or like the kitchen where everything was out of the way. There was furniture in there and pipes. There was air conditioning vents. There was yard equipment. It was a little tight. It was a little cramped. There were things all around him, pipes running across the ceiling. There was the old furniture, and the snake had moved things around as it moved to and fro across the floor. And so Earl had to maneuver, taking steps to the left, jogging a little bit so that his blade would have a clean strike at the snake. He came closer. The snake waited. He came closer. And the snake seemed to, at first, pull back. Then he realized the snake was uncoiling itself, and its head was getting a little higher. And he realized the snake was going to strike. Earl prepared himself, got his stance ready. The snake moved forward. Earl thought the snake would have to be very close before he could strike him. But he, as quick as a mongoose, would cut its head off. And when the snake was getting ready, and Earl thought he could see its eyes, the tongue indicated it was going to open its mouth and strike. Earl leapt forward and with his quick-handed blade struck at the neck of the snake. And just as the blade came close, the edge of his blade caught a pipe and was stuck. It stopped dead. The blade was not going to hit the snake. The snake was unharmed, and the snake, seeing it first, had weaved out of the way of the approaching blade and now realized that Earl's blade was caught in the pipe. It reared back and lunged forward, the sharp teeth, its fangs coming directly out, tipped with poison, and it came directly at the heart of Earl. Earl tried to jump back, but realized the snake, who was now so tall and long, was going to get him. He couldn't jump back fast enough, and he hoped that his mother would get out of the house before the snake ate both him and her. As the snake's jaws came directly to him, he could see those sharp fangs coming closer and closer, and just as they were about to strike him, suddenly a dog leaped from beside a chair that had been hiding it from both the snake and Earl, and its open mouth was there with teeth, and it grabbed the side of the snake and pushed it away. The snake bit the brick right next to Earl's shoulder, and the dog now had the snake just behind its head, so that it could not bite the dog, and the dog was shaking it furiously. But the dog wasn't very big, and the snake was. And the snake, although it had been surprised, began to uncurl its body and began to wrap itself around the little dog. At this point, Earl yanked his blade out of the pipe where it had been stuck and chopped at the body of the snake, cutting it left and cutting it right, cutting it so that it would not surround the dog and choke the little dog. And the dog would not let go of the head of the snake. But the snake was very big and it fought back, and between the little dog and the little boy, it was a fight that went on for minutes. The dog was being flung up and down, left and right, and the muscle snake was able to twist and turn and was still trying to bite him. And Earl was chopping and chopping and chopping and cutting the snake into smaller and smaller pieces until the snake was dead. As the snake fell, its eyes closed, its tongue still, the little dog let go and fell to the side, exhausted. Earl realized this had been the rustling sound. This little dog had been in the basement too. The little dog was underfed and could hardly resist when Earl picked it up and took it upstairs. He told his mother how the little dog had saved him, so they fed the dog until it was healthier. They cleaned up the basement. They buried the pieces of the snake. They fixed the hole in the door. And the next time Earl saw the wise men, he gave him a little purse made out of snake skin.